Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of 410 Sports Talk. I am James Haskell, along with my faithful compadre, Glenn Martin, DK in the background, spinning the discs. We are here tonight. It is finally, Glenn, finally, game week.
Purple Friday, Jimbo.
It is Purple Friday, and I am here for all of it. I'm so excited. Can't wait. I tried not to talk to everyone I encountered today about football. That was like one of my main goals today. Like, hey, don't overshare about football to everyone because not everyone has the same, you know, excitement that you do. But I failed miserably. So I'm looking forward to it, man. How you doing on a Friday night?
Yeah, I mean, just like you. Can't wait to see what this team's going to look like when they're finally out there going against an actual team. Against them, I mean, it can't get any better. We got the Orioles on TV leading the Red Sox. I mean, you know what they've been doing all season long,
right?
Storming into the playoffs. So yeah, I mean, I can't be more excited about really this weekend. Last night, heck of a game. I mean, kind of a. Some people, the Lions have kind of been the darling dark horse to pick in the NFC, and I think some people did pick the Lions, especially when they saw Kelce be out. But still, heck of a ball game. Goes right down to it. Looks like two good teams battling last night.
Yeah, no, it was a good time. Can I be completely honest with you?
Don't tell me you didn't watch the game.
It wasn't the Ravens, so I did fall asleep at halftime. I couldn't make it through halftime. I tried so hard, Glenn, and really? I was like, I just can't. I couldn't.
At least you saw the Dan Campbell fake punt from inside his own 20.
That was awesome.
Whew,
that was
got
awesome.
A bag on him, boy.
Yeah, no, that was awesome, man. That was a lot of fun. I did try hard. I couldn't do it. But yeah. You better believe my eyes are going to be what? I mean, this is going to be me in the Ravens game right here.
That's right.
But I'm looking forward to it, of course. And we have a guest for you guys tonight. We're going to be talking, obviously, the Houston Texans. And we always try and bring someone in that sees it from their perspective. Because, of course, we're here in Baltimore and we see it from the Ravens inside out. We want to see from the Texans' view. So we're looking forward to that. And we'll give you the injury report. We'll give you our, you know, players to look out for, keys to the game, predictions. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited to be the one to announce that we are, of course, bringing back the competition, the vaunted, the exciting, heated. The heated.
Foregone conclusion that Glenn will be the winner.
That one I'm not going to say. But our over-under competition is back, ladies and gentlemen, with some swag on the line every week. So make sure you understand how to enter the competition. And, of course, DK is the ruler of it, and he will be ultimately designating a winner every week. So stay tuned. We'll be doing that as well. With that being said, we always start with injuries. I think what we'll do, Glenn, is probably bring in our guest, and then we'll talk about injuries on both sides.
Yeah,
and then kind of move from there, get into the Texans. Does that work for you?
Sounds good. Let's do it.
All right, Cody. Cody, that's how you pronounce it, correct?
Kids. Yeah.
All right, cool. Cody, so Glenn's going to do his best impersonation of a WWE announcer when he brings you in here. Okay.
Come on, man. Look, we got the Texans beat reporter for Locked On Texans, who, by the way, I think recently celebrated their 500th episode as the host of Locked On Texans. Also at Texans Daily, covers the Rockets as well. So really just wearing a lot of hats, all things Houston. So bringing in our new guest and friend of the show, welcome to the show, Cody Davis, ladies and gentlemen. Appreciate you joining us.
What's up, Cody?
What's up, James? What's up, Glenn? Thank you so much for having me, man. It's an honor. First and foremost, let me just say I'm just as excited. The NFL season is finally back. And second, even though I cover the Houston Texans, but I do have a couple players that I root for, I'm hoping that Lamar Jackson win MVP because I was so sick and tired of the disrespect that was going on.
Yeah.
I just wanted to get that off my chest. I'm pretty sure I'm going to have some more followers. But look, I'm a huge Lamar Jackson fan. As a matter of fact, we talked to CJ Stroud on Monday, and CJ said it himself. He loves Lamar Jackson. He's hoping that he gets an opportunity to chop it up with him after the game. And I'm just hoping that this will be another MVP caliber season for my guy, man.
Yeah.
We're here for it, right, Glenn?
Yeah, man. I mean, look, I think you'd be crazy not to think he's at least going to be in the discussion if he stays healthy. I appreciate you being, because look, we get a lot of haters around the country when it comes to Lamar Jackson. So
I don't understand why. Like, listen, and you guys covering the Houston Texans over the last couple of years, I have went through my fair share of nonsense. Let me just say that. But I just did not understand why. What was the reason behind this quote-unquote, should you or should you not pay Lamar? I'm like, in my opinion, he's a top three quarterback in this league, MVP. Yeah. The guy has basically been winning ever since he became the starter. Like, what is this nonsense? That's just – I just had to get that off my chest, guys. I'm sorry.
No, trust me, man. The whole offseason until draft night, I mean, it was back and forth, all about Lamar, of course. So we totally get it. We've been venting a ton of hot air over here when it comes to Lamar Jackson, but certainly – we agree with you. I mean, I need Lamar to be the savior of my fantasy team, if I'm being completely honest with you. So, absolutely. We're riding Lamar and hoping that he has that type of season as well. You know what it is, Cody, before we get into the injury report? People fear what they don't understand. That's what it is.
Gotta be, man. You
remember what it was like when Allen Iverson took off in the NBA?
Oh, yeah. Exactly. It was the same thing, man. Yeah, you know, it's just haters.
Right. You know, I feel like Lamar's got a lot of that in him. He's so unique as a player, and people fear what they don't understand. So, yeah, that's what I'm leaning on. But, all right, so, Cody, what we'll do is, of course, you are our Texans expert, so we're going to ask you a lot of Texans questions, pepper you with them. But what we'll do before we do, Han, is we're going to get into injury report for both teams, and then, you know, you can talk to us about these, give us the inside scoop on these injured Texans. We're going to have DK, of course, our producer, put up this graphic real quick, and we'll kind of run down a few of these. Glenn, I'll let you kick off the Ravens stuff here.
Yeah, I mean, no surprise Marlon Humphrey finds his way on. Not going to be able to suit up for this game. I think the hope is still that he'll make his way onto the field at some point in the first quarter of the season, hopefully sooner than later. Ronnie Stanley, not really much concern with the ankle. Did have a little bit of concern when I saw Odell pop up. Now, the reason I think there's less concern is that he didn't get removed from practice. He got downgraded to limited and then back to full participation on Friday. So he looks like he's ready to go. The only question right now remains around Mark Andrews. You know, he had this injury that we're not really sure on. He's gotten in limited practices throughout the week. So some are optimistic. I think personally he's going to be able to suit up and play. But I guess that's the only not known about this upcoming game.
Yeah, one thing we do know about Mark is that if he's not playing, it's simply because the trainer said you're not playing.
Oh yeah,
not because he's like, oh, this hurts. No, that's just not how Mark Andrews rolls. Like, he's just not that way. One of the most intense humans I think we've ever seen play for the Baltimore Ravens. He's not that guy. But Cody, why don't you talk to us about these Texans guys? Let us know what's going on, man.
Yeah, so as you guys see on the injury report, as of right now, the biggest name that kind of has everyone worried down here in the city of Houston is Jimmy Ward. You know, I was starting safety next to Jalen Petrie, and that is somewhat disappointing, because when you looked at the pairing of Jimmy Ward and Jalen Petrie, you knew without a shadow of a doubt that those two guys were just going to help elevate the Texans secondary. However, like I mentioned, going up against the top three quarterback in Lamar Jackson, especially with the new weapons that I'm pretty sure he's dying to play with, it might be kind of challenging for the Houston Texans to kind of like slow him down. That's the biggest thing without Jimmy Ward. Christian Harris is the next biggest name on the list. I'm anticipating him to play on Sunday, so that's not too much a big deal. However, Blake Cashman, that's one of those names where you guys might not be familiar with him. However, he is one of those guys that can definitely step up and help the Texans linebacking core. He has been phenomenal throughout training camp. I was excited to see him, you know, his status is out. I know a lot of people look on there and see John Metchie. However, right now he's dealing with a hamstring injury, and it's nothing to be too concerned about as of right now, because look, everyone knows John Metchie's story. This is a young man who really hasn't played football in almost 2 years, and general manager Nick Caserio did say last week that when it comes to John Metchie, it's definitely going to take him some time to really get going. So, you know, not too surprised that he's dealing with the hamstring injury. And then you got Darrell Gumbawale. That is not too much of a big deal. He's more so going to be on the special team. So there you have it, the Houston Texans injury report. However, it's the names that is on IR at the moment that's somewhat more concerning for this organization.
Absolutely. I know you guys got some injuries at O-line, if I'm not mistaken, correct? Who are some of those guys? You guys, your starting left tackle's out, right? Is that correct?
No, it's starting left guard. Oh, Kendrick Green. I mean, right. Kenyon Green. Kenyon Green is out. Also, our starting center and Scott Quisenberry, he is out as well. And then you have our second best lineman, and this one hurts the most, and that's Titus Howard. And, you know, with having three of your starters out, it hurts because you guys know when it comes to the offensive line, the best thing for them to do is make sure that you have that camaraderie, that continuity, that chemistry. And look, I would give kudos to Nick Caserio and head coach D'Amico Ryans. Ever since, you know, the offensive line been hampered with injuries, those guys have been trying their hardest to bring in talent. However, I just don't believe that those guys have had enough time in practice and with the film to say, you know what, let's go out there and help the Houston Texans. And, you know, this is going to be the rookie debut of CJ Stroud. And not only that, this is going to be a team that wants to run the football. And for them to start the season off with a depleted offensive line, it isn't looking good, especially with the loss of Scott Quisenberry and Titus Howard.
Yeah, so it's never good when you have a rookie quarterback in front of behind a banged up offensive line, especially heading to Baltimore, which you know, can be quite a tall task, you know, for a rookie. But let me ask you about your new head coach. D'Amico Ryans comes over after, I mean, a lot of success as the defensive coordinator with the 49ers, and of course, familiar face, you know, a star player when he was with the Houston Texans, returns. I mean, it's got to be a dream come true to return and be the head coach. What are your early impressions, expectations for him in this first season? And also, is the offensive system similar to what he's played in his whole career, with Kubiak being his former head coach and then Shanahan running the offense over in San Fran?
Yeah, you know, you guys are definitely going to see it on Sunday. You know, it's basically a replica of everything, especially, you know, the system that the San Francisco 49ers use. And it's ironic because the new offensive coordinator, Bobby Slowey, he was the passing game coordinator. So, you know, that whole Shanahan tree, you know, everything that we, you know about the San Francisco 49ers offense is definitely what we are seeing here in the city of Houston. As for D'Amico Ryans, man, you know, he has just been a breath of fresh air down here in the city of Houston. I mean, you guys been seeing it over the last 3 to 4 years. It has been nothing but nonsense after nonsense after nonsense. You know, this is an organization that has fired three head coaches ever since 2020, October of 2020. Mm. Then your last two head coaches, David Culley and Lovie Smith. We was sitting here, you know, looking at the hiring and like, what is this, you know, especially with the whole Lovie Smith situation, because it seemed like that they was going to hire Josh McCown, but then some other stuff went on behind closed doors. And then next thing you know, you elevate Lovie Smith. And, you know, the one thing that I would say about Coach D'Amico Ryans, that he definitely had brought stability back to this franchise. Stability and respectability. And you can literally see that every one of these players, they are playing with a new sense of urgency and a new sense of energy. As a matter of fact, I wanted to write a story on the newness that's surrounding this team with head coach D'Amico Ryans. And I asked a couple of players in the locker room, you know, hey, can you just, if you can, put in words, just describe what the last 2 to 3 years have been? And I got turned down by every single player that I asked. And every time I asked, they hit me with that, man, you know, that's going to be somebody else's job. I don't want to put nothing out there. So that's just that right there lets me know that, you know, the last 3 years for this organization has been bad. However, as I mentioned with D'Amico Ryans, man, he has just brought a newness that this organization definitely needed. And I think the best thing about having Coach D'Amico Ryans, given the fact that this team is so young, he is definitely going to help lay a foundation for a lot of these guys so they can go out there and have a respectable and hopefully, in CJ Stroud's case, a really good NFL career.
Mm, I'm glad to hear that. I know that can be difficult to simply change the pulse of an entire organization, the culture of an entire organization. And that's a lot to put on a head coach, certainly a guy that's new to doing the job, right? So got to pick the right guy, but certainly he seems like he's the right one to do it thus far. My question is about the guy you mentioned a couple of times, and that's your quarterback, CJ Stroud. I've liked a few of the Ohio State guys coming out. I feel like for one reason or another, they get relatively disrespected. I was glad he went to you guys, and I think he's a good football player. What have you guys seen thus far in camp? Like, what's been the things that has gotten people excited? Are there some, you know, people that are sounding the alarms and a bit worried? What's the temperature on Mr. Stroud?
Everybody down here is excited. You know, as for me personally, someone who has been watching CJ ever since rookie minicamp, I would say that you can tell that he is definitely going through the learning curve. And speaking of CJ, the one thing that I've heard a lot of players say, and one thing that I've heard Coach D'Amico Ryans and Bobby Sloy talk about, is the fact that he doesn't make the same mistake twice. And, you know, I could kind of see what they're talking about, because at the start of training camp, I'm not going to lie, it did not look that good. He was turning the ball over at an alarming rate at one time. However, the fact that he continued to learn from those mistakes, he's basically been taking care of the football, you know, through the rest of training camp, through the joint practices, through the rest of the preseason. I believe he had threw an interception that first preseason game against the New England Patriots, but the last two against the who's our second game that we play, Miami, and then to close it out with the Saints. You can definitely see that he started to take care of the football a little bit more. And it's the same thing that I started to notice towards the end of training camp. I know the one thing that kind of concerned me at the start of training camp and throughout OTAs, it seemed like he was just holding on to the ball just a little bit too long. And, you know, that was the result of him getting sacked a couple of times. So, you know, that's something that I wrote down. You know, CJ needs to learn how to, you know, adjust and get through his reads quicker. However, the last part of training camp, looking at that last preseason game against the Saints, especially that second series that ended with him connecting with Nico Collins for that touchdown drive, you saw CJ really executing in a faster pace, which means that he's going through his reads at a faster pace. So, you know, CJ, as I mentioned, he's going through his learning curve. I'm pretty sure, you know, throughout this entire season, there's going to be moments where it seemed like he's going to be struggling. However, if he continued that work ethic, if he continued that notion of not making the same mistake twice, he's definitely going to have a pretty solid, hopefully really good NFL career down here in the city of Houston. But, man, I've really been impressed with CJ.
That's awesome.
Yeah, well, hopefully it doesn't start too glowingly in this first week. But I got to ask you about the guy on the other side picked quite high. Will Anderson brought in to be, you know, the pass rusher of the future. And I think expectations are high, but I don't know if anyone has higher expectations than your guy, Sarge. I got to be honest.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
I seen the prediction, and I mean, damn, that's almost blasphemy. I mean, I just know if somebody was in here trying to predict that Adafa Elway was going to break any Terrell Suggs records, I mean, blasphemy. So, I mean, I love the energy that Sarge brought, but he said he was going to be better than J.J. Watt.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. He said that on, I believe that was the Tuesday installment of Locked On. And one thing about Sarge, you know, he's just not saying it, you know, just because he want, you know, the clicks and the likes and the debate. No, if he say something, he got this saying that he's going to stand 10 toes down. And, you know, I asked him again, I'm like, do you really believe that? He was like, 10 toes down. But look, man, I'm not going to go as far as to say that he's going to be better than J.J. Watt. But what I would say, at least in his rookie season, Will Anderson Jr. is definitely going to change the Houston Texans defense, especially the front four. You know, the one thing, you know, since I've been around the Houston Texans, it's basically been throughout this whole entire rebuild. And the one thing that they always struggle with was stopping the run. Like, they was terrible at it. As a matter of fact, I think the Texans over the last two seasons have given up an average of like 150 yards on the ground alone. So with Will Anderson Jr., he has definitely, you can already see what type of impact he's going to have on that defensive front, especially at stopping the run. There was moments throughout the joint practice against the Miami Dolphins where they did not have positive yards on the ground at all. And that is definitely what I wanted to see. And the one thing that I love about Will Anderson Jr. is the impact that he's definitely going to have on that offensive line. It's going to be one of those impact where it might not show up all the time in sack numbers, but he's going to be the guy that's going to command a double team. which means he's going to help his teammates go into opposing team's backfield and help create havoc. I remember there was a moment during training camp where it was him and I can't remember who it was. I want to say it was either Jonathan Greenard or Jacob Martin. I can't remember who it was, but due to the double team that he commanded, one of those guys was able to get into the backfield and sack C.J. Stroud. And that is something, ironically, that the Houston Texans haven't had since the departure of J.J. Watt. And like I mentioned, man, Will Anderson Jr., I know with him coming to the Houston Texans, being on the same team, being drafted right after CJ Stroud, of course, all of the attention and everything is going to CJ. And I'm not going to lie, it seemed like Will Anderson Jr. has fallen under the popular radar because, you know, CJ commands so much attention. However, it might be a good thing for Will Anderson Jr. because I'm definitely starting to see him pick up so much of the Texans' defense, his adjustment to the NFL, the speed, everything that you want to see out of your defensive end, he's definitely learning at a fast pace. And I'm like, man, I can't wait to see what type of impact that he's going to have throughout this whole entire regular season. And we're talking about Will Anderson as a rookie. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's certainly exciting stuff to get some juice there, some young guys there that could be future leaders and pillars for the franchise. It's just Quan says, Cody, how's the hometown rookie wide receiver?
He must be talking about Tank Dell. Man, Tank Dell has been surprising. You know, I'm not going to lie to you guys. I knew him a little bit coming out of the University of Houston. However, given his size, look, I stand 5'9", and I truly believe that me and Tank Dell, we are the same height because I walked past him in the locker room today, quick interaction, and we literally looking eye to eye. So I'm like, okay, if this is a wide receiver that's my size, I understand he's a lot talented than me. You know, he's more gifted. Yeah, just a little bit more faster. You know, I'm like, I really didn't know what to expect from Tank Dell. However, going back to training camp, going back to those joint practices against the Miami Dolphins where he caught, I believe it was like there was a day, that first day of joint practice where he caught like 3 touchdowns. This young man is going to be something serious. And, you know, the wide receiving core going into training camp, it was kind of concerning. You know, you don't have a quote unquote number one wide receiver. You know, you don't have nobody that kind of like sticks out to you. However, Tank Dell is one of those guys to where you're looking at Tank and you're saying to yourself, look, he might not be your number one wide receiver, but he's definitely going to be one of those guys that's going to be explosive. My only concern with him, given his stature, if he is going up against a defender and he can't create no type of separation or anything like that, he's not going to win 50-50 balls. So, you know, he's not going to do anything for you on that particular play. However, if he's playing in a zone, coming off the screen, if he finds the smallest gap, the smallest hole to break free, once he gets the ball, it's over. By the way, don't be surprised on Sunday if you see Tank Dell being utilized as the primary kicker. We tried to ask special teams coordinator Frank Ross several times on Thursday whether or not that's going to be the case. But, of course, he's hiding his cars. I'm like, y'all only
as the primary what, Cody?
As the primary returner.
Oh, kick returner. Okay. Yeah. You said kicker. Okay. I know.
Kicker. I said kick returner.
I went, what the heck?
He's not that dynamic. Primary kick returner, you know. All right. That is something that, you know, I definitely is expecting in his very first game for the Houston Texans.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hey, he kind of reminds me of the hype we got going on with Zay Flowers over here. We got a little spark plug as well.
I actually wanted Zay Flowers for the Texans. I'm not even going to
lie. Well, you can't have him, Cody. You hear me? You can't have him. He's ours. But all right, well, I got to ask your opinion on the game, of course. You know, it's no surprise this is going to be a tough one heading into Baltimore, taking on a team that, you know, John typically, he always has his guys ready to go week one. And if you look at his last few week ones, it can be kind of brutal for the opponents coming into the bank. What's your expectations this Sunday?
Well, first and foremost, let me just go ahead and get this out the way. I do have the Baltimore Ravens winning this game because, first and foremost, you guys are the most experienced team. And as for the Houston Texans, everything about the Texans is new. And not only that, you know, throughout this whole entire week and even last week as well, in the press conference and the locker rooms. We have been talking about a lot of firsts. This is going to be CJ Stroud's first real game. Same thing with Will Anderson. And not only that, that's just the players on the field. This is going to be Coach D'Amico Ryan's first game as a head coach. Bobby Sloyd, first game as an offensive coordinator. And I think this game, more so than anything, is going to be a learning curve, because you're going to have to go out there and learn and get adjusted to, you know, playing and executing this game on the NFL level. You guys do have, like, rain in the forecast as well, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So muck it up. Yep. That's going to be another concern and another issue for this offense as well, especially given the fact that you're going into this game with a depleted offensive line. So there are some things in this game that I want to see from CJ, from the offense, from the defense. And that's, number one, just going out there and being competitive. But number two, for the offense, just going out there, executing your plays, and just moving the ball. There were several times ever since the departure of Deshaun Watson where the offense just looked stagnant. It looked bad. It was vanilla. And it just didn't look good. I'm not putting too much on CJ in this offense as of right now, but I do just want to see them just go out there and execute, move the ball, and, you know, just make things competitive. And the same thing on the defensive side of the ball as well. Just go out there, get some stops. You know, you guys looked really good throughout training camp. I want to see if you can still, you know, take away the football when it presents itself. I want to see you go out there and stop the run. You know, I do know Mark Andrew isn't ruled out. He's questionable, right?
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, you're cool. And what about my boy Odell Beckham Jr.?
Oh, he's out there. He's out there.
He's going to be
looking good.
Oh, okay. He's going to play. You know, so I look at the secondary. I am worried a little bit because Jimmy Ward isn't going to be out there. However, there's a guy by the name of Derek Stingley Jr. Mm-hmm. You've been hearing the noise coming out of New York. You've been hearing a lot of people, including down here in the city of Houston, who have been saying that, you know, the Texans made a mistake by picking a Amon Sauce Gardner over you. I want to see this. If there's any expectations that I'm placing on any player, mm-hmm. it's Derek Stingley Jr. Because, look, we all are projecting you to be the number one corner on this team. That's right now is Steven Nelson. And you said it yourself. You feel healthy. This is the best that you felt since 2019. And we all know what took place in LSU in 2019. Mm-hmm. I want to see him go out there, and I don't care if he's playing up against Zay Flowers or Odell Beckham Jr., whoever you are holding for that particular game, I want you to make that receiver non-existent. That is the mm-hmm. only expectation that I'm going into this game with. But other than that, man, it's definitely going to be a learning curve for the Houston Texans.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a more specific question regarding that, but I've decided not to ask because you already answered my question.
Look, Cody's a nice guy. Don't put him on the fence. Make him have to.
I'll tell you what, Cody. Base. We've got some folks that have come on that we love, but that have, even with their number one quarterback. I'll say this: in 2019, with their backup quarterback out, in 2019, they picked their team to beat the 2019 Ravens when Lamar was an absolute terror, right? So, and their backup quarterback. So there were some guys that were really drinking the Kool-Aid, but you know what? I get it. I'm full of purple Kool-Aid myself.
Yeah, how many losses are you going to pick for the Ravens this year, Jimbo?
Hey, I'll tell you what, I'll be closer than you. I've never picked the Ravens to lose, by the way.
Mm. Yeah, well.
So, yeah, I get it. My point is that we appreciate you being objective. We know mm-hmm. it's hard because we're all fans. Like, we totally get it. So, we appreciate mm-hmm. that. And, look, I think ultimately, this is just me speaking to any Texans fan out there, it's just about progress right now, right? Like, you want to look mm-hmm. different now in comparison to the end of the season, at least in my opinion, right? You want to compete.
Oh, yeah.
You want to look different. But, Cody, thank you so much for coming out. We appreciate it. Why don't you let everyone know where they can find you, all the stuff you're working on. We were talking about before the show. It looks like you wear about a million hats. So let them know where they can find all the stuff you're working on.
Yeah, so if you want to follow Locked On Texans, read my articles over at Texans Daily. That's part of Sports Illustrated. The easiest thing that you can do is follow me on the artist formerly known as Twitter over at CodyDavis_24. Once again, that's Cody, CodyDavis. _24. I'm actually working on a piece. I had an opportunity to talk to Shaq Mason and talk to talked to Steven Nelson and just asked them, you know, what have they been seeing with the development of CJ Stroud, you know, just taking one person on offense, taking one person on defense, and just seeing, you know, what are some of the small nuances that, you know, have been kind of falling under the radar with CJ Stroud going into his very first game. By the way, speaking of a rookie wide receiver, I'm doing this new thing this year where I'm trying to do this new thing called Rookie Diary, where I just pull a rookie to the side and just talk to him about, you know, whatever point we are in the season. Today, I dropped the latest piece. It's actually part two. Had an opportunity to talk to Xavier Hutchinson, who I believe is going to be pretty solid for the Houston Texans in a wide receiving core and on special teams as well. So you guys can read that and just see, you know, what it's like just being a rookie, you know, coming up on your very first NFL game, man. You know,
That's awesome.
I don't know what to expect from this game. I don't think you guys are going to win. What was that? 58-59 to zero that y'all beat Miami. What was that, week one of?
Oh,
what year was like that?
That was 19. That was a hell of a year.
I don't think it's gonna be a blowout or anything like that. But I tell you one thing: if you guys run into Lamar Jackson or whatever the case might be, tell him that he got a fan in Houston that's rooting for him. This is Lamar Jackson year.
There we go.
Yes, sir. Last question for you, Cody, on the way out. It's just Quan says, Cody, how do the Texans defend Bateman, OBJ, Flowers, and Andrews if you were the defensive coordinator?
Oh, man. That's going to be kind of tough because, once again, it's not like you guys have anybody just throwing them the football. No, you have Lamar Jackson. Let me just say that. But if I was defensive coordinator, man, I would just, you know – how can I put this? I would probably start off with man and just see how a lot of those guys do that. And I say I would start off with man because the number one guy that I'm looking at in this game is Derek Stingley Jr. And his best attribute is when he's able to go out there and play man. And we saw last year playing in Lovie Smith's Tampa 2 defense, playing in that zone defense, he did not look good. So that is how I would start off, you know. Steven Nelson, he's a really good one-on-one corner as well. So that would basically be my take. We're going to just go out there, play man, and see what you guys can do. Because if at some point in the game, if they got to switch the zone, especially looking at your linebackers, things could get ugly for the Houston Texans once again.
We appreciate it, man. Thank you so much for coming out. Have a great Friday evening. Stay out of the heat if it's hot down there. Keep the AC kicking. But we'll talk to you soon, Cody. Thanks again, man.
Thanks, guys.
Yep, have a good one.
Yeah, I tell you, I think if the Ravens see some zone cover, I mean, if Lamar sees man coverage running down the field, he's going to be like, I'll just run myself.
That's right.
But I do it. I mean, I think they will have to switch some things up. But appreciate Cody coming out.
Yeah, man.
Guys, you know, been covering the Texans for a long, long time, so certainly appreciate his insight. But I'm excited to get into you know, our portion of this thing. Eli Hoff says, guys, what matchup are you looking forward to? I'm interested in seeing if our cornerbacks without Marlon Humphrey are going to be good for at least the month that he's potentially out. I'll add a word in there.
There you go.
He's out for a whole month. But I think that's one thing we're going to learn, right? We're going to learn what we got. Well, we may not learn it fully, but we're going to at least know a little bit about what we got at cornerback behind Marlon.
Yeah, certainly a little bit of a litmus test here, a little bit, right?
Certainly not the test that they'll have the following week.
Yeah, no way, with a pissed off T. Higgins and a Jamar Chase and a Tyler Boyd. Yeah, they got
Joey Burrow with the fattest wallet in the NFL.
Hey, man.
Can't even sit right, dude. He sits on an angle.
I'm happy about it. You know why? Because they ain't paying Higgins and Jamar. Jamar's talking about getting $30 million plus. Joey just took 55.
Now he'll get 30 million plus. He just won't be playing for the Bengals.
That's right. He'll get him from the Houston Texans.
That's right.
You know, or maybe the Niners will sign up to be the highest paid payer of a guy in another position. You know?
James Lee Wiley says B-more gets 4 sacks, 2 interceptions. I think that's and Lamar sits out in the fourth quarter. Well, that sounds like a week one with Lamar under center. That's what it sounds like right there, James. Yeah.
It does.
Wouldn't shock me. I mean, no. This is a team it's them and the Cardinals, right? Like who do you look at as competing for the number one pick? I mean, I guess the Cardinals and then a big drop and then them.
Because you know, the Texans are trying to compete, right? Yeah. Like they're trying to, just like he said, and just like you said, see what they got, see what CJ Stroud is, things like that. They just got a lot of firsts. and a lot of unhealthy players, a lot of key positions. It's really going to be brutal for them, man. In fact, when he was breaking it down, I'll get to my over-under. I changed my score.
Made it worse.
Yes. A bit worse. Yeah. So anyway, all right, let's get into this, Glenn. We talked about the injury stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, shoot. All right. So actually, and I'm going to need your help here live.
I got you. What you need?
You got some stats up?
I got it all.
Nice. Okay.
What do you need?
All right. Let's talk Texans defensive rankings / stats here. I know that they were
bad.
Pretty bad overall last year, but let's break it down.
So the tough part, of course, is much like breaking down the Ravens offense, is that the Houston Texans' entire coaching staff changed. Yeah. So with a new coaching staff came an entirely new philosophy. So they're going to have some player carryover. It's hard to look at what they did last year and read too much into what they're going to do this year. But with that being said, the Texans defense ranked 27th in the league, giving up 24.7 points per game. They ranked 30th, allowing 379.5 yards per game. Let's see. They were 26th in opponents' yards per play, gave up 5.7 yards per play, Jimbo. And they were middle of the pack in third down, 38.9%. So if you're looking for something to lean on, they were mediocre at of stopping opponents on third down. Let's see. They were 29th against the run. Is that good? No. And they were 29th in yards per carry. They were 32nd in yards per game.
Yes.
How many teams are in the league?
32, baby.
They were dead last. That's really, really bad. Yards per game. Let's see. Opponents' yards per game. I mean, look, Jimbo, let me just tell you this. They're bad at everything. And you know what? When we get into the offense, summarize it for you. They were horrible at that, too.
I mean,
a team huge in transition, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And he talked about some names that we'll talk about defensively, of course. You know, he talked about Will Anderson and Derek Stingley Jr. Didn't bring up Denzel Perryman. But ultimately, this is going to be a challenging task for this defense, just like you said, Glenn, to come into the bank to play against this Ravens offense, which is what I really want to talk about.
Let's get into it.
Numbers, DK talked about this when he's creating the over-under. Numbers between the Ravens offense last year and this year are going to be, I think, so hard to project because it's philosophically and, schematically, it's just a different offense. But I want to start with keys and players of the game offensively for us. I'm excited to get into these, Glenn, because I've been thinking about this one for a while. I was out pushing Henry for way too long today, and I was thinking about this for a long time. Dude, I think J.K. Dobbins is going to go absolutely off. And I'm really upset at myself because I had Sky Moore in my flex. He got me 4 points, and J.K. is going to go on an absolute tear.
Dude, cut him, by the way. Cut him, dude.
Oh, he's gone.
He's gone.
He's already he's gone. Yeah. But I think J.K. and I'll tell you this, as far as my key to the game offensively, because the offense is learning and getting to know Monken and Lamar and him are getting to know each other, I think that you need some positive positioning on or some easy third and short. So like some positive plays on 1 and 2. I don't want to see a ton of like 3rd and 10s, 3rd and 9s, 3rd and 8s, 3rd and 10, 3rd and 9. I know that would be the case every game, but the reason I think it's a key in this game is because you don't want to put undue stress on the offense early while there's still a learning curve. So I think that's more important. Not that I'm scared about us losing, because I'm not, but I do think it's important for the growth of the offense to put themselves in positions where Monken can go, all right, let's open this whole thing up and let's get to know one another, right? Like, let's go dancing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's important. Early success, because look, any player that what makes a player buy in is the success on the field, right? Like, they're not going to buy in if you're not doing well on the field. So it only will help them buy more into this system. That's tough, Cakes. If you have early success, Cakes Mitchell says, don't feel bad, Jimbo.
Yeah.
I flexed Tony. And I think a lot of people made that mistake last night, starting Kadarius Tony. I can't believe there's a picture floating around where it's right at that catch point where the ball it looks like it's already caught. And then the caption is, this was an interception.
This was 7 points for the Detroit Lions.
Like, it's like when you see a picture, you're like, no, it can't be. It cannot be. But yeah, he had just about as bad of a game of I've ever seen a receiver have. Yeah. Yeah, that was crazy. But yeah, I think early success. To me, what I'm looking for in this, because here's the thing, Jimbo, this is not a, like, this Texans defense, I expect to be a lot better. Now, I mean, they are getting the premier defensive coordinator in the league last year. This is a guy who, while had good players, he coached the best defense in football. If you go by our fantasy score rankings, they were the number one defense. And I think no matter what rankings you look at, the Niners were right up there. Them and the Eagles were the two best defenses in football. And so I think they're going to be really well coached. I think he's going to bring a system that's relatively easy to coach in the sense that, like, it's not as complicated as some of the other systems because they let you play faster by simplifying the system. And it's worked really, really well, at really a lot of different stops, including last year. So I think they're going to be very well coached. They got really good players at all three levels. So this isn't, they're not the best defense they're going to play. This is a good starting game. And so what I'm looking for, Jimbo, is tempo and rhythm. I want to see them getting up to the line quickly because that's what Monken said he likes to do. So I want to see that. I want to see Lamar be decisive with his decision-making at the line of scrimmage. And I want to see the ball out quick. You know, I don't want to see him standing there looking, scanning left and right too much.
That's how he gets hurt.
Get the ball out quick. I mean, we saw that in the preseason. We saw drives by these backup quarterbacks that were bing, bang, boom, down the field. And that's our backups playing with backups. So in my anticipation is that this offense should look spectacular. If Todd Monken can get Johnson to look the way he did and Huntley to look the way he did in the first week with way less steps than what Lamar's been getting, I expect this offense to be hitting on all cylinders. So while I think it's a tougher test than most people may be expecting, I want to see tempo. I want to see rhythm. I want to see this offense look like it knows what the hell it's doing.
Yeah, you know what's going to crack me up because people are talking about the rain? If Gus goes out there and gets 20 carries and just like this turns into an absolute slugfest.
Rain doesn't scare me. Not,
you know what I'm saying? But it would just make me laugh, right? Like everyone's expecting this high-flying offense and then all of a sudden 35's out there just dominating the game in a totally different way than people anticipated, you know?
Look, he was asked about Pat Ricard, Todd Monken was. He said he is an integral part. Well, we might see just how integral he is if he's out there running. By the way, I can hear the rain just beating down on my roof right now.
I don't even think it's raining here right now.
It might not be, but you are in the basement, right?
I am, yeah.
So you got like how many floors?
But I got a window right here.
Oh, yeah, you'd see it because this is, it's loud.
Yeah, no, for sure. So Pretty Boy Suave says, I hope Lamar doesn't let outside noise keep him from playing his game. Throw when you need to, run when you need to, keep it simple. I agree with that. Actually, I was just about to say something to that effect when you know, to your comment where like, I think it takes two for this whole thing to work with Lamar. There's a blessing and the curse of being such a magician. When you hold on to the football, it's always that temptation to think that every play can be a huge play. And with Lamar, I understand that can truly be the case, but Lamar's also got to be the guy that like, you got to be willing to do the my mom always used to get upset about Tom Brady. She'd be like, everyone thinks he's great. All he does is dink and dunk. And it's true. Like a lot of times Tom would just play within the system and take what was given, right? Like Tom Brady is great. But my point is that he was willing to play it within the system. And so I don't think Lamar will have any issues with this, but my point is that Lamar does have to keep it simple in that, like, hopefully he can avoid the temptation of always wanting to hit the home run and just get it out early, get it out quick, like be the boring point guard sometimes that like just shows up and runs the play. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
So that's
I said it. Damn it.
You said it, not me. Look at that.
Damn it.
And I haven't said it in two shows.
Yeah, no, I think you're right though. I think the home run will come. You can't always look for it. I think that's honestly what Joe Burrow's biggest struggle against the Ravens last year is that the Ravens took away the home run and it really crippled their offense. And so I think understanding that 5 yards is okay. Like it's not a failure of a play. And at some points punting is even okay. You know? So I think you're right. I think, staying ahead of schedule, but also making sure you take what's given to you and not try and force things. I think the simple fact that this offense is going to be far more spread out. I mean,
yeah,
people got to remember is oftentimes like there would be every member of the team inside the hash marks. Like there was no one. It's going to be so different now that, yeah, there might not be this many designed runs, but he's going to have so many opportunities with space in front of him just to take off, man. I really, really can't wait. But I want to get into our offensive breakout players here, Jimbo. And I think you got a good
one. JK is going to absolutely run wild.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Does JK, is there any chance, because I talked to you this off air, I want to ask you on there, that that John Harbaugh says, you know what, Justice was here for every practice. He never missed a down. Gus, the same thing. Those guys deserve the bulk of the workload in week one because J.K. Dobbins willingly held out despite not being injured. Do you think he'll ease him back in as like a, we got to reward these guys for what they did in camp?
I think if this was college, he might. I think that certainly not Justice Hill. I could see maybe Gus, but nah, I don't even think that. I think that JK is just a perfect fit.
So no penalty at all for choosing to sit out.
Nope.
Okay. Interesting. All right.
Nah, I don't.
A guy with a doghouse.
Yeah.
Tells me someone who might be a little bit. You know.
Yeah, but Munkin's over there, like John. Really?
He's my best.
Yeah, you cut me off at the knees here, John. You know what I mean? Now, that might be a bit hyperbolic, right? Like, that's not the case. This offense is deep. But that being said, yeah, you can't sit him. Because every game counts. Even though this is going to be an absolute party and we're going to double him up. This is still going to be, this is an important game. So, now, I thought about that long and hard, but I decided
I think Gus gets the tutties, though.
All right.
I think they bring Gus in for all the goal line and like, look, you're not going to be out at the end of the year going to be shaking that touchdown number in front of us asking for a crazy contract.
That's a good point.
We're going to give him all to Gus.
Yeah, we know we can get Gus back next year for five per.
That's right.
You're going to win 13 plus.
Yeah, but you know what? My breakout player is going to be Zay Flowers. And the only reason I'm a little hesitant is because Jahmyr Gibbs should have been the breakout player for the Lions last night. But they did not give him the ball. It is the most ridiculous.
Is it because he can't block? He can't pass block very well?
Maybe Montgomery is a better pass blocker at this point in their careers. But when the ball was in their hand, it was a massive difference in how they looked when they had the ball. Like, he had six carry. Gibbs averaged six a carry. That goober Montgomery averaged 3.5. Can you tell who's on my fantasy team? Yeah. Anyway. I think the only thing that has me concerned is if Zay Flowers gets the Jahmyr Gibbs treatment, where for some unknown reason, he's on the damn bench when he should be getting the ball more often, because that's all I kept saying last night. Why is this guy on the bench? Every time he touches it, Collinsworth is like, geez, this guy's explosive. And he never touches the ball.
It's not happening though, Glenn.
Zay's going to get a full compliment
because I think the sooner you get him confident, the sooner you get him up to speed, especially he's potentially a top two weapon on the outside from a wide receiver perspective on your team. And that's the way if that's the way they feel about him. Yeah. Get him in early. You know what I mean? Get the reps in early. If there's going to be mistakes, get him in early. If there's going to be learning, get it in early. So get him the ball early and often. And the other thing about Zay is that I think it's fair that you can argue of our top three wide receivers, he's probably the easiest to get the ball to because you can get it to him so many ways.
Yeah. You're not handing the ball to Odell.
Right.
It to Zay. You're doing everything to get it to Zay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So I think you're good. I think you're absolutely right. This is going to be a different offense with Monk in there. And I think he's all go on Zay Flowers. So I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
All right. So you already kind of talked about it. The Texans,
on offense.
Oh yeah.
Yak yards. We're going to finally see guys running with the ball in their hands, Jimbo. Holy smokes. Dude. Yeah. I can't wait.
Yeah. No, I'm with you 100%. Them in positions to get the ball and turn up field.
Yes.
And do something with it.
Yes. And we got guys that can do it.
Dude, you know what's crazy to me? It still is incredible to me that Marquise Brown is going to turn on the TV and just be he's got to throw his remote at the television, right? Like, just watching it, like, this is what I wanted! You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, there's got to be part of him that's kicking himself.
Oh, dude, tell me about it.
Got to be. I mean, there's got to be. And then same with Arizona. You talk about kicking yourself. Arizona, reports are they might be eating 90-some million dollars on Kyler Murray's contract if they go with Caleb. I mean, it's so lunacy.
I don't get what's
going on. I mean, look, these people who are envious and watching these teams spend like they look at Arizona, man. You just don't spend just to spend. You do it wisely. Joshua Hunter says, excited for Zay Flowers. Will Mandrews and OBJ be out this Sunday? No chance OBJ is out. He was back at practice today in full strength. Mandrews got in 3 days of limited practice up to this point. I think both will be playing. Absolutely.
Yeah. Sorry. I totally agree with you. Mark's sitting out if the trainer says sit out. John's not over there like, Mark, sit this one out. That's not how John rolls. So if he ain't doing it, Mark ain't sitting out either. It's just that simple to me.
But I will say this. If there's any concern, sit him, because we can beat these guys without him.
That's fair. All right, let's move on to the defensive side of the ball for the Ravens. One thing I will mention, I mean, I think it's worth saying, number one, talking about the Texans stats last year, I think we're going to forego it because they have a different quarterback, a different everything, and they weren't good.
Just know that they were like 30th or worse in every category.
But I do want to point out some players that are worth pointing out. I'm going to point out two specifically, and then I know that you have some other ones, but Nico Collins is a guy that seems to be a bit of a fantasy darling. People are excited about as like an under-the-radar emerging potential number one for them. And then you got to talk about Robert Woods, right? Because Robert Woods, he's one of those guys that like every year he's healthy, he ends up being a much larger contributor than originally anticipated, in my opinion. So, you know, and he's a vet leader in that room. He's got sure hands, in my opinion. He's just an above average at everything. I loved watching him at USC because he was a dog. I don't even like USC, but I liked Robert Woods. And I still think he's about the same. So I think those are two guys, you know, to at least keep your eyes out there for.
Yeah, no doubt. I think, just a receiver out for the Rams. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, a Cooper Kupp?
Yeah, Cooper Kupp credits Bobby Trees for a lot of, you know, teaching him a lot of things. He's certainly, what?
Whisperings of IR for Cooper Kupp. Great.
Oh, I know, dude. Hey, you got him late, right? Didn't you?
Yeah, like,
you
got not that late.
But yeah, a couple other names. I think they got obviously high hopes for Dalton Schultz. They brought him in, took him from the Cowboys after I think he kind of dropped the bag a little bit, not staying in Dallas, but he comes over. I think he'll be a focal point offensively. Tank Dell. I mean, look, Cody talked about him. There's high hopes for Tank Dell. They think he is their Zay Flowers. So, you know, it's kind of the quick way to put it to you. And then, you know, to Damian Pierce, he's a heck of a running back. You know, that guy can really run, and backing him up is Devin Singletary, came over from the Buffalo Bills. Good receiving back and can really, you know, talk about catching the ball and doing something with it. He's the kind of guy that can make you miss in a phone booth. So they definitely have some talented players on the outside, but it's no surprise. I mean, it's no shock to anyone to know that CJ Stroud, being a rookie, is going to see a lot of things in this game that he's never seen before. The speed is going to be different. But I think the biggest thing, Jimbo, and I'm glad Cody pointed out, but I'm going to really reemphasize it. Mm-hmm. How many firsts are they going through? Like, Todd Monken was asked about his first time as a play caller. He said that he thinks they went 8 straight 3-and-outs when he became a play caller. Well, Bobby Slowick's going through that right now in real time. This is his first job. He's, I think, my age, and he's coach. You know, he's the offensive coordinator of an NFL team, so it's certainly a lot on his plate. Same with another very young head coach being a rookie. Now, he's played in the league, been around the league, so I think he's going to do well, but he's still a rookie. CJ Stroud, a rookie. I mean, they got firsts all over the place, Jimbo, and I got to imagine McDonald's going, I mean, this is like Christmas. This is our first game, right?
Yes, sir. I told you, dude. Absolute party. Fiesta at the bank, and I cannot wait. Now, we talked about their offense a little bit. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about our defense. I want to get into, I mean, if you want to give some stats, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I got some for you. Let's see. Cool. Defensively. Now, we can actually talk about that because.
Yeah, because there's some continuity there.
A lot. Yeah. In fact, let's see. The Ravens were third in opponent points per game, 18.8 last year. I mean, That's pretty spectacular. I mean, I don't know if I'm crazy here. Third down, 36%, fourth in the National Football League. Those are two big indicators right there. How many points you give up and how you get off the field on third down. Rushing the ball, let's see. Rushing yards per game, they were third. Only gave up 89.8 yards on the ground. I think it's crazy, Jimbo. Even losing Calais Campbell, the run defense could get better when you got when you bring a guy like Jadeveon Clowney and you got a full year with Roquan. Let's see. Passing yards per game. Let's see here. There we go. Pass yards per game. We were 23rd, 230 yards per game. Now, remember, we were so far and away dead last to start the year after that Dolphins game. So they really had to work and play well just to get to 23rd. But I think all those numbers were gearing in a huge positive direction after Roquan came aboard.
Yeah, 100%. Oh, gosh. I'm just going to embrace it. I 100% agree with you on that, and I'm looking forward to see what this defense can do. And I'll tell you what, man, my key to this defense is going to be make Stroud beat you. I feel like I've said that on the show a million times, but anytime we play a young guy, look, you got to do two things. You got to tackle to avoid the
big play.
The big play, the home run stuff, and you got to stop the run. If you can do those two things, and Stroud has to drop back 50 times and everything stays, you know, everything's in front of you, you're not losing this football game because he's going to make mistakes more than once. It's just the – and look, even the greats. I mean, go look at the, you know, a lot of
– Peyton Manning was terrible. Yeah, I was going to
say, they have like four interceptions or something.
He was horrible. His first rookie year was horrible.
Yeah, so, I mean, you can't knock the kid. It's not a knock on him. Yeah. It's just the fact that this is the NFL. It is what it is, and unlike the NBA – you know, this is the world championship here. So,
dude, how about the U.S. losing again, man?
After talking trash on Noah Lyles, dude, and everyone being offended and hurt and upset.
I like here is you can say you're the best in the world, but you can't say you're the world champion. You can say you're the best team in the world.
Sure.
But you can't say you're the world champions.
Yeah.
I think that's an easy way to, you know, think of it.
Yeah,
because they are the best team in the world. Like, come on.
I think he was just saying literally, like.
Yeah. Because it's not a world competition. Yeah.
Right. It's just that simple. Of course. Just like, I mean, you could say the same about baseball, the World Series. Like, you call it the World Series.
But that's much more of a world game.
Right. That's what I mean. So, like, there would be more credence behind the idea of not being able to call it a World Series.
Okay. All right.
You know what I'm saying?
It's a pretty world game, though, right?
That's why. Because if it was a World Series, you would bring in the whole world.
I see what you're saying.
And compete against
the Olympics.
Exactly.
Dude, this storm is intense, bro.
Yeah, I ain't getting a thing.
It's like moving my house. Holy sugar.
All I know is you're shook.
If I just like go out, then you know why. Because it is absolutely dumping buckets. But I think what I'm excited to learn about this game, Jimbo, is kind of because this Nico Collins, Tank Dell, they're not slouches. Dalton Schultz, he can run. He can run routes. He can catch the ball. Yep. I think what we could learn is what do we have in those corners after Marlon Humphrey? Who can we count on? Who can we not count on? And then also, you're talking about a banged up offensive line. So these young guys, Owe and David Ajabo, they should be looking at this as a game to get confidence. I mean, if you can't make this offensive line look bad, That's not going to be a good thing for the rest of the season because this offensive line is banged up and even healthy weren't going to be considered one of the top offensive lines. And now they're banged. I mean, they lost three starters and a key backup already. Like, if you can't make mincemeat of this offensive line, then maybe Eric DaCosta has to be on the phone when it comes to the trade deadline and getting some help on the edge.
David Ajabo and Adafe Owe have been on their hands and knees because the Lord just – part of the Red Sea like Moses for these guys. Let me tell you what, nothing is going to be easier than this game for these two. Get it done. Get it done. They've got to get it done, right? This is get some momentum here. Show us what you can do. Unfortunately though, Glenn, I'm still concerned about it. I'm still concerned about them getting home. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, I agree. We're gonna see what we got here. I'm still a little concerned about the secondary overall, but look, I'm not. Now, the one thing I will say that I forgot to mention was that the one thing I'm really excited about is the interior. I've talked about this a lot, but the interior pressure, And this rolls right into my player of the game. Not it all coming from the big boys up front, but I think PQ is going to be our breakout defensive player of the game. Mm. Keep your eyes. And look, I know I've
thrown hold on. Why did he block us?
Because of me.
And now you're picking to be our breakout player.
I am. You know, because look, I'm not that guy.
Trying to win him over, guys.
Well, look, just because I say you play bad doesn't mean I think you're a bad person. You're still a human.
You're trying to get back on that Christmas card list.
No, you can be a bad person like Mashawn Watson and play good football, right? So they're mutually, well,
true.
You know, they can be mutually exclusive. So ultimately what I'm trying to say is PQ's getting a sack up straight up that A-gap blitz. You know what I'm talking about? That, that PQ.
They bring him and Roquan up. You don't know who's dropping, who's coming. Yeah, oh, yeah.
It's going to be six hitting the gap and just smashing C.J. Stroud. I think he's going to have a tackle for a loss. I think he's going to play super physical. We've seen it in training camp. He looks absolutely dialed in. I know everyone's excited about Roquan, but I think he is just – what was the short that they did? What was it, grinding in darkness or whatever it was? They're talking about darkness. Adafi Owe was talking about it. Anyway, the Ravens media put it out. The point is that in the dark – he's been doing his best David Goggins, and he's ready to go out there, dude, and just crush it. Patrick Queen is going to kill it this game. Look, I'm even going to say this. He's going to lead us in tackles and sacks.
Stop it. He's not going to lead us in tackles
and sacks.
No. Roquan Smith is going to lead our team in tackles every single game. Here's what he will do, though, Jimbo, because I think you're right. I think PQ has a big game. I think he has a sack and he has a pick.
He has
a sack and a pick, but no chance does he lead our team.
I'm not saying for the year. I'm just saying he comes out a man possessed.
Okay.
Comes out a man possessed.
If he is, then that means him and Roquan got double digit, because that's how many tackles I think he gets. Well, I don't think you're crazy at all for picking PQ. I think he's gonna have a big season a big game and a big season.
Yeah.
I think there's a couple of guys I was really almost about to pull the trigger on Kyle Hamilton, because I think he has a big game. I think he gets his hand on a ball. But I'm going to go with Adafi Owe. Part of it's maybe wishful thinking. But also, this guy has looked phenomenal all training camp. I mean, this guy has looked unblockable. He's already been good against the run. I don't expect that to be any different. I think, in fact, he gets better in that area as well. But I think we see that patent, or what do they call it? His signature pass rush move. I think we see it week one, Jimbo. He's going to get two sacks. You're going to eat your microphone cover. Damn it. Put some Lowry season salt on that. You're going to eat that. You know what I mean?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, no. I'm sorry. It's wishful thinking, Glenn. You're really trying hard to manifest this one.
Somebody's going to – oh, so it's only going to be Pat Queen getting a sack?
No. I mean, I think it's going to be a Ajabo before it's Oway, as poorly as Ajabo's looked. Somehow, Adafi will be able to stand up there with a valid excuse at the end of this game as to why he got no sacks.
Well,
this is how it goes.
I don't think they'll put him on the stand if he doesn't get any sacks. They're going to hide him and rush him out the back door. He's only talking to the media if he has a good game. That's it.
Fair enough. So Don C, and I like it. Look, I'm hoping for, just like I said, is there ever going to be opportunity as good as this one?
Not all year.
I mean, he does play big slow twice.
That's true. But he's usually rushing against the right tackle. You know, that big baby isn't playing right tackle. He'd cry too much, Jimbo.
It wasn't for the money, though. Right.
No.
Nothing to do with the money.
No.
Don C said 410. Yeah. 410 Sports Talk. Best in the business. We got to start that up again. I forgot. Rip CJ Stroud. Look, man, we're hoping for a long and fruitful career for CJ Stroud, just not anytime he plays against the Ravens. It's just
not tomorrow. Not the
shout out to Don C.
The next day. Yeah.
That's right. All right. Let's see here. All right. It is time, ladies and gentlemen. As you know, we have a new and exciting partner in BetUS. I'm excited about it. Glenn, you excited about BetUS?
Oh, absolutely.
Year?
I mean, look, they're trying to give you money.
That's right.
I mean, they're saying, look, you put in 100, we'll match 125% of it. If you put on anything up to $2,500, you'll get a match 125%. Bing, bang, boom, just like that. And let me tell you, some of these, take the over on all of them if it's the Ravens. I mean, dude, I think they're going to absolutely, 9.5, Jimbo? Come on.
You heard it here. I got it at 16.
Yeah, and you're still putting a couple of dollars on it.
That's right. Look, do yourself a favor. The cool thing about most smartphones today is you can do picture in picture. Just do picture in picture. Watch the show. Hit the link while you sign up. Mm-hmm. And make yourself some money. You get up to 125%. So it's a match and then a cherry on top, up to $2,500. Just like Glenn said and always says, go with what you know.
Yep.
Over on the Ravens, everything. Make yourself some money this week. And it's an easy way to support us in the show, help us keep the lights on. So join mm-hmm. the crew, BetUS. And this segment, of course, is brought to you by BetUS, the one, the only over under competition here at 410 Sports Talk. We're going to get into it. That's right. It is back. DK yeah. is the mastermind of all this, the original champion of the over unders, and has now taken the throne as the puppet master of it. So, DK, what do we got first? All right, over under. Zay Flowers receptions. Actually, I got ahead of myself, Glenn. We got to tell people how they can participate in our over unders.
Yeah, absolutely. So after this live is over, don't do it during the live, because if you do, it will be erased when the live is done. So wait till after the live is over. You can comment in the comment section below. Give us your answers to your over-unders, including the first tiebreaker, which is the total score. And then your final tiebreaker is the total yards for the Ravens. You can either do it in the comments after this video is over, or you can direct message us on any of those social medias right above my head right here on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, however you want to enter. And the winner, gets some swag. And by the way, shout out to Fly Looking Yo. He won our draft prediction, and he got a shiny, brand new, authentic, real deal Holyfield Zay Flowers jersey. And I'm hopeful it's going to be close. I don't know if it's going to get here. I don't know if it got there in time. It was either today, but I know he's going to that first game. So I was hopeful it would get there in time, but if not, it'll certainly be ready for
week
two.
When you see it, make sure to rock it. Tag us in your social media.
Yeah, post a picture.
We'd love to see it, man. That'd be awesome.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But yeah, this is something we look forward to.
Yes.
I mean, I really look forward to it because it gives me an opportunity to really assert my dominance over those, the other two gentlemen involved in the show. It gives me an opportunity to really just let them know where they stand when it comes to sports knowledge and the ability to predict what our Ravens will mm-hmm. do every Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I've decided, ladies and gentlemen, this year, and I'm going to tell you guys first as well, that I am done. I'm taking off the gloves. I'm not going to be handling you guys with the oven mitts that I have been in years past. Mm-hmm. I've painted the eye black under my eyes, and mm-hmm. I'm ready for war. I've decided that this year, foot on throat is my kind of like my
your mantra.
Slogan. Yeah, it's my mantra. Is that I'm going to put my foot on your guys' throat this year. I'm not going to be swayed and trying. I get my answers in early. I leave them because here's mm-hmm. what you guys do. You like to wait till the last second mm-hmm. and then I get influenced. Stick with my convictions and no mercy this season. So let's get into it.
Yeah. I'm real concerned.
And I can tell the chat loves, they want me to win too. I mean, the entirety of the comment section is Team Glenn. And
well,
I
it's easy to root for an underdog.
I appreciate
to root
you guys.
For a front runner, you know?
Nah, dude. They love to see a dynasty, and that's what I'm going to give them.
Wait a second.
And thank you, all guys. Right. Shout
let's
out to
Jimmy Kimwell.
Huh?
Let's do this thing.
All right, let's do it. Let's do it.
Over under, Zay Flowers receptions. 3.5 receptions. I'm just going to say it right off the top. Over, baby. Going over.
This guy changed. He said under before the show, guys.
Wait, get
it.
Look, now Glenn is just straight blasting.
I'm feeling out the curtain. He said he wasn't going to do this
game. I was the one that said he only needs 1.25. I'm trying to convince DK to go over.
Oh, that's right. It was DK. My bad.
Yeah,
that's right. My
geez,
bad. And you did. And by the way, quit convincing DK and swaying him. And he wants to be wrong. Let him be wrong.
Well, look, Glenn, a true leader brings those around him along with him. You see what I'm saying?
See?
I'm not afraid. Bring the competition,
weak.
Bro.
You're weak. That's why you won't win. You're too weak.
Wait a second. I won last year.
Kid gloves off.
What you got? Under, over, my
over.
Man.
Over. Of course he's going to have more than that. Right. My only concern is overall touches versus receptions, because I do think they'll get him the ball by more ways than just throwing it to him. But Yeah, I mean, I think this is a Zay Flowers coming out party. At least I hope it is. Now, what if they decide to hide him till week two, Jimbo?
Nah.
Any chance?
Nah.
No. Because yeah, OBJ is he did tweak the ankle, so maybe his snap count's a little diminished because of that. And maybe the same for Bateman coming back from the foot. So,
and DK went over. Nice work, DK. Nice.
Yep.
All right, what's the next one?
So we all agree there, over. Yep. All right, next one.
Over, under, Ravens passing first downs, 10.5 first downs passing the football.
Mm.
Yeah, I went under here simply because I think that we're going to be able to run the ball at will. That was my logic, and I just went with that.
No, I agree. I think if this was a maybe next week, I go over. But this is a team where I expect the Ravens to have a comfortable lead in the second half and kind of just chew the clock out on the ground. So because of that, not because it's an incapability of getting 11 first downs through the air, but I just don't think the necessity will be there. So I agree, and so does DK. So all of us, let me just put it this way. Both of you guys agree with me because I had my answers in first, and I see you both just followed suit. Let's see if anyone has the gahonies to go outside of what I predict. All right, moving on to the defensive side of the over-unders. See if you guys had the gazungas. All right, Ravens interceptions over under 1.5. What say you, Jimbo?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going under here. It would be easy to pick over. Oh, not easy. That's the right word, but it would be very reasonable to go over. But I'm going under. I'm just not feeling it right now. I don't know. I was just a gut feeling. I have no real explanation other than usually my gut's right.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to say under as well. I think they get one interception, and I think they force a couple fumbles. So I think the turnovers are there. I just don't know if there'll be interceptions. Look, it's tough because anytime Marcus Williams is on the field, I feel like he's going to get an interception.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the one that I'm thinking of. But I also think one of the linebackers are going to get their hands on a ball. But I agree. I think I'm going to say under, but I'm not real confident. I almost changed it, but I'm going to stick to my plan.
Mm-hmm. You see how you're already in your own head?
Well, look, I can get in my own head, but the problem is you can't get in my head, okay? It's a vault right here. You know?
Oh.
DK, though, says
going over. Yep,
okay.
DK's going over.
So that's the first discrepancy. DK's going to win in this game. God dang it. All right, next defensive over-under, and this is where I make my ground. Adafe Owe, total sacks, over-under 0.5. The disrespect is real, gentlemen. Yeah, I say over, and I'm ashamed of you, too.
Well, don't be. It's
defend
under.
Yourself.
It's simple. Tell me when I've been wrong. Tell me one time I've been wrong, Glenn. I'm not a hater on Adafe.
He won't get one against the shittiest line he's going to see all year?
Of all people, Adafe
Owe. He can't get one today.
Right, will not get one. He's just the guy that, you know, he just won't get one. He's just got to prove me wrong. He's just got to prove
will
me wrong.
Will anyone get a sack against this porous offensive line? Will we get sacks?
Yeah, it's going to be Clowney. It's going to be Ajabo. It's going to be PQ. It's going to be Roquan. Hell, it's going to be Michael Pierce. It's going to be Travis Jones. It's going to be – I got
Kyle
all
Hamilton.
Those guys. Yep. Yeah, I mean, yeah, give it – yeah, exactly. I mean, for some reason, I feel like I'm just right usually about this. So, Adafe, I hope he proves me wrong, but –
he's going to prove you – he's going to get one. Dang. Get one for me, Adafe. Get one. Then you'll make me the winner. Of course, me and DK could be a tie at this point if he got the one right and I got this one right. So these tiebreakers could very much so come into effect. All right, first tiebreaker, total score over under 43.5 points. So will the Texans and Ravens combine for more or less than 43.5 points, Jimbo?
Oh, over. For sure. And I'm just going to, can I just say it?
Yeah.
The Ravens are going to win this game by a landslide. It's going to be 38-16. The Ravens are ringing up 38 on them. And I think that Don C is right. I think they take it easy on them halfway through the fourth quarter. It's going to be a party, an absolute party. So if my math is correct, Jen.
And I think it is.
We're going over.
Yeah, that's a big over. That's a big win, 22-point victory. That would be – that's what I expect to see, a win that's decisive. But I'm going to say under, but not because it's not a decisive win, because I don't think the Texans are going to get to 16 points, Jimbo. I got the Ravens winning 31-10, so getting to a total of 41 points. Still a dominant victory, but I do think they get a second-half touchdown. I think it's 3 points at halftime, and they get a late second-half touchdown. Dang. My man DK says over, and he picks the most dominant win of all of us. He says 42-10, Jimbo. Beatdown.
Wow.
Statement game.
Wow. Well, yeah. I hope he's right. I mean, the thing is, my score was 31-13, and then I felt like we were going to score more, but then I also felt like, all right, you know what? The NFL loves scoring, so they're going to get one touchdown, and they'll get, like, three field goals, right? And then that they're not going to get in the end zone very often. Yeah. But I feel like 10 is just really low in today's NFL. That was my concern, just in general.
It is a low score. But, hey, if we end up winning 42-10, I think those little pussycats in Cincinnati are going to be shaking in their puss in boots.
I love it. I'm excited for it.
All right, last one, over under total yards for the Ravens, closest to the pin wins it. So just to be clear, I want to make sure I'm clear. Doesn't matter if you go over. This isn't Price is Right rules, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. So,
and the first tiebreaker is the heaviest in weight, right? Like if you win the first tiebreaker, the second tiebreaker isn't even considered. The second tiebreaker is if you
it's only need there
to go there.
Gotcha. So this isn't even always factored in. It's only there as a necessity. All right. So closest yards, I got the Ravens 395 as their total yards. What do you think, Jimbo?
Yeah, I'm going 376 here. I think that the Ravens will get it done efficiently. Mm-hmm. And I think they'll get some short yardage due to turnovers via fumble, via maybe some special teams weirdo stuff. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm going 376. I feel good about it. DK, now don't make the same mistake you did last year. Remember last year, week one? You meant like 5,000 yards.
Yeah, we did terrible.
And then we did super bad. DK, what's let's see, what is it? It's 4 something, right?
415
is what DK's got. Dude, he's like, you know what? I'm not even worried about the tiebreaker because I'm already going to win it. It doesn't even matter. No, that's what he's thinking.
No, I'm going to win it with the tiebreaker being under, and I'm going to start my reign as the new champion.
Yeah, we'll see.
Well,
what's your prediction for the game, though, Glenn? Did you give your score?
I did.
Yeah. Cheese away. See, I'm going. You and DK both said 10, and that's why I was talking about. Look, I'm over here going crazy. Cakes Mitchell says y'all tripping. Marcus Williams gonna get two picks himself.
I don't think you're wrong. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked at all to see that. I mean, he's that good, and I wouldn't be shocked to see Kyle Hamilton get his hands on a ball. I think Kyle Hamilton is going to finally announce himself to the rest of the country. Like everyone in the Ravens flock knows about Kyle Hamilton, knows how valuable he was.
Yeah.
But I think those around the country still don't know about Kyle Hamilton, unless you're a woman who's a fan, because apparently he is he's very desirable by women, Kyle Hamilton. That's what I've heard. He's very handsome. But most people around the country, I don't think, know who this guy is, despite the fact that he was rated as the highest safety, according to PFF, in all of football. But I think Sunday, they're going to start to hear his name.
I hope so. I hope you're right, because that's one thing that he did in college that we're kind of waiting to see is the ball skills, right?
Yeah.
That's the next step, I think, for Kyle. So, yeah, hoping for the best. But look, ladies and gentlemen, hope you guys have had a fun time tonight. Make sure to go check out BetUS. Use the link in the description. It's super easy. Make yourself some money. Just like Glenn said, go over, smash the over on the Ravens this week. We had a great time with our guests tonight. Really excited about this game. We will be back right after the game, so keep it locked here. That's all for us, and it's official, Glenn. We got to send it out with it.